My name's Paul Henley. Now, the Baalbek International Festival in Lebanon is the oldest and most prestigious cultural event in the Middle East. For many, it symbolises the openness and cultural richness that coexists with the country's periodic instability and war. But the war in neighbouring Syria has increased sectarian tensions. Just in the past 24 hours, two big explosions near mosques in the Lebanese port city of Tripoli have killed more than 40 people and injured hundreds more. It's thought to be the deadliest attack, in fact, in Lebanon since the end of the civil war in 1990. How has the ongoing crisis in Syria forced the festival to change its course this year, then? Rana Hadid is granddaughter of one of the festival's founders, and she works as a volunteer at this year's event.
Our main concerns are our artists and our festival goers, and we can't ensure their arrival and transport to Baalbek and back from Baalbek due to the situation. We have had car bombs for the last few months happening all over the city, and if we could guarantee everyone's safety to and from Baalbek, then, you know, we would not have had to have this change. We've had to adapt to the situation, so that's just it. Hopefully it's just for this summer.
The festival is sort of soldiering on this year with a spirit of determination. Is that the best way to describe it?
Yes, of course. I mean, we have to, don't we? We have to pursue our cultural and touristic mission.
Describe to those who aren't familiar with the Lebanon at the moment how the war over the border in Syria is affecting it, so we know that the scale of change and disruption.
I do know that the war over the border and regionally is affecting all of Lebanon. But, I mean, if you go and if you attend any of our festivals, you don't really feel it.
The refugee problem's obvious, though, in Bekaa particularly.
Yes, in the Bekaa, and in the, you can feel it in Beirut even. In all of our, you see a lot of refugees all over the city, yes.
And the political situation has claimed one artistic victim in terms of a cancellation of a star performer from the festival.
Yes. Our opening show was Renee Fleming. She had to unfortunately cancel due to restrictions from the US State Department.
She is a world famous soprano, correct?
Very famous, yes. And so she had to pull out. It wasn't against the festival, it's just she couldn't visit Lebanon.
The festival really runs in your blood, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. My grandmother is one of the founding members of the festival. Her name is Selwa Said. There were three presidents of the festival. My grandmother was the second president.
And for those who aren't familiar with what is a more or less a global cultural phenomenon, just describe some of the highlights of past years.
We've had the greatest orchestras perform at Baalbek, the Berlin, we've had theater, the Old Vic, all the big names in jazz, Miles Davis, the Modern Jazz Quartet, Ella Fitzgerald.
Every time we say goodbye, I die.
Great. And same for the ballet. We've had Alvin Ailey, Merce Cunningham, Béjart, Opéra National de Paris, all the big names in all the fields that we represent, which are classical music, opera, ballet, jazz, pop music, Sting, Charles Aznavour. You know, I can list there hundreds and hundreds of names.
The physical backdrop, the beauty of the city of Baalbek itself, has been key to the festival. Some of the best preserved Roman remains in the world. What is it? What is the stage that you've lost temporarily this year look like?
Well, there's nothing like Baalbek. I mean, the temples of Baalbek are unique. I think, you know, they add another dimension. There's no other place like Baalbek for our festival.
What do they look like?
Out of this world. We have three temples. We have the Bacchus temple, the Venus and Jupiter. And they're all very different and very beautiful. And as you know, Maurice Béjart said, playing and dancing in Baalbek, you don't feel like you're amongst ruins. They're like living things. You really feel that these temples play a big part in the representations.
Not least acoustically.
They're amazing for acoustics.
What kind of a loss are they this year then?
Well, they're not there. You know, it is a loss not having the temples. But we've tried to find a place that has a little bit of soul. It's an old 19th century silk factory, which is just out on the outskirts of Beirut, so it's accessible to all people from all regions. We hope it's just a temporary one-year, one-off festival.
You're on record as saying that culture transcends all wars. Do you stick by that?
I do stick by that. It's our duty that with everything that's happening around us, a lot of us are not really politically inclined, and we love our country. I've been brought up in this festival. I mean, I've been going to the festival for over 40 years, and I've always loved it. And I think it's a shame that Lebanon, that was so open and that is so open and that loves all these things, is not able to just carry on doing what it's always done.
That was Rana Hadid, who's a big defender of the Baalbek International Festival in Lebanon. Arsalan Iftikhar, given the killings in Lebanon in the past 24 hours and the horrific violence over the border in Syria, it can seem a bit trite to be talking about concerts, is it?
I don't think it is, actually, Paul. I think that, you know, what Rana Hadid and her festival are trying to do is bring a little bit of normalcy into an abnormal situation. You know, we had at least 42 people die in twin bomb blasts at Lebanon mosques. And, you know, most media reports, you know, pit these fights between Sunnis and people of the Alawite sect, which is a minority sect of the Shia branch of Islam, to which Bashar al-Assad, who's the Syrian president, belongs to. And, you know, she said something very profound when she said that culture transcends all war. And, you know, even though we see, you know, the Egyptian military killing their own people, and obviously the Syrian government with Bashar al-Assad killing his own people, you know, ultimately, I think we've lost this culture of humanity around the world. And I think that, you know, with festivals like this, I think it really shows from a very micro level that we have a lot more in common than we have differences.
Yeah, culture certainly moves aside for a while war rages, though, doesn't it, Charlotte?
I mean, you know, I think it does, and I think the tragedy of this is it shows, you know, how conflict can extend beyond national boundaries and have dreadful consequences. But I think what we must remember is that in the world of social media, getting together in real life can be even more powerful. And I think, you know, Rana is very right to try and continue this, because even in dark times, it's critical that we keep these sorts of things going, that when things get better, they can then take root and grow. But if they don't exist at all, there is no momentum. There's no reason for them to carry on.
You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Paul Henley with Weekend.